Morning. Today's reading is from Matthew 20, verses 12 through 16. Please turn to Matthew 20, verses 12 through 16 in your Bible, or turn to page 801 in the Bibles provided. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. You may be seated. The children may go to children's church.
When we talk about culture, we talk about how things work in life. And honestly, things work quite strangely. For instance, people will dislike you, sometimes deserved or not. As much as I believe in free will, none of us have decided to be born in the United States or born in the last two centuries. Middle class, and even the poor today in the United States, eat and live better than most of royalty throughout history. How many of you would like to be rich or famous? Or how many of you would like to find out you're of royal blood? But would you trade your HVAC, your air conditioning and heat, your indoor plumbing, a flushing toilet, to be royalty in the 17th century? In a cold, windy, drafty, unheated and unair-conditioned, unplumbed castle? Within 1 to 3 years after you leave your job, almost nobody will care. We are all replaceable. Oftentimes, even worse than that, incompetence is rewarded. And remember now, think about this. Some of you are thinking about in particular people, but those particular people are probably thinking about you. And all those million-dollar athletes are there by the grace of God. Their natural talents are God-given. Now, I do not deny many of them work very, very hard. A naturally gifted person who works hard as a tremendous athlete. But I can tell you, without any fear of you disagreeing with me, but I will never be able to dunk a basketball without a trampoline. And all those athletes who we reward so generously, if they were born 2,000 years ago, at best they could be a gladiator. And let's face it, the lifespan of a gladiator was pretty young. And most of those superstar athletes get most of the money. Probably 50% of the NBA, basketball, NFL, football, probably 50% of all the salaries go to 10% of the players, the superstars. And then love. We've been reading 1 Corinthians. But love will not make your marriage happy or last. It's foundational, but love alone will not do it. I like to joke, love does not make the world go around. Hard work, tenacity, sweat, grit make the world go around. Love just makes the trip worthwhile. Sometimes we will really get what we deserve. And I thank God that's not the norm. A politician can never solve the problems of an immoral people. Contra to Oprah Winfrey, the universe is not on your side. Yes, if you have a positive attitude and keep plugging away, it may seem that way, but not always. Because good things happen to people not because they deserve it or because of God's endorsement, rather because of God's grace. And bad things are no discriminator of income, race, religion, position in life. Bad things happen to everyone. I have to admit, money will solve many problems. I will never deny that. Money makes a lot of things a lot easier. But money cannot make a good marriage, a good family, or a blessed life. Money can not stop many events in life. The rich get old as quick as the poor. Money will not stop you from getting cancer, although it may give you better treatment. But money cannot stop dementia along with aging. Generally, I would tell you in these facts of life, it is a waste of time to help someone who will not help themselves. So we always say, don't work harder on someone else's problems than they're willing to. Sometimes children and youth die. And if you here or I here have never lost a loved one to war, in the history of this globe, we are in a minority. And lastly, to lighten the mood just a little, well, maybe not, your dog will not live long enough. And you cannot make a cat love you or cuddle with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, life is often strange. And how we deal with those problems reflect more on who we are than the way is and the roller coasters of life. Lord, let us have your kingdom within us. And in spite of the world we live in, that the light of Jesus Christ would shine through all those events spoken of. We pray this for your glory, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. So that is life on this earth. The ups and downs. But what is it like in the kingdom of heaven? Or the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus begins to address this in Matthew 20. And he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. So that landowner would be God, who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. You know, he says vineyard, he picks of all the crops, probably grapes were the most prized. In the book of John, it says, we are the branches, he is the vine. The imagery would be complete about the importance. And he agreed them to pay them a denarius, a day's wage. Whatever that would be. What was considered fair to pay someone for a day's wage. He agreed to pay them for the day and sent them into the vineyard. So they were going to get what was expected. And they agreed. And about the third hour, or 9 in the morning, they would start the day at 6. He went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. So 6 would be the beginning of the day, 9 would be the third hour, noon would be the sixth hour, 3 p.m., the ninth hour, and then the end of the day at 6. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. There's an understanding. The harvest is plentiful. He needs more workers. It's a bumper crop. And so they're going to be working two-thirds of the day, and they're probably expecting two-thirds of the pay. He's going to pay you what is right. So they went. They went to work. He went out again about noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. And so you would expect he probably said the same thing, I'll pay you what's right. You know, if it's half the day, you'll get half a wage. And it's like, it's a bumper crop. He just needs more workers. Or so it would appear. But then in verse 6, about 5 in the afternoon, the 11th hour, He went out and found still others standing around. Okay, they're going to work 1 hour. How much can you get done in 1 hour? By the time you get them set up and trained, if they're untrained, my guess is they were all trained, but you know how it is. You got to get set up, have a cup of coffee, have a Coke, get changed, maybe switch shoes. They probably got right to work by 6:05. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" And they said, "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard." See how this works? We've seen this today. You don't have a job. You don't have a farm. You got to feed your family. You don't have your own farm or your own business. So you go out to work. You know where the landowners are going to go to hire people. And maybe there's 30 people there and they only need 10, so they take 10. It's kind of random. I mean, maybe they are going to look for the biggest, or maybe they're like, well, the biggest fade the fastest. Maybe I want the strong and the fastest and quick and nimble. I don't know. But they pick 10, and then the rest are left, and they would hope somebody else would come. But these people, I mean, it's 5 p.m. It's the day's done. And they're so desperate to earn some money because they're going to go home with nothing. "Hey, honey, how was work today?" "Well, honey, I just stood there all day long and I have nothing to show for it. No one hired me. So we'll never be able to save up and buy our own acre." And you got to ask, you know, so he sees this and these guys willing to hire him. Does he really need them? Hence the 11th hour. And you got to be thinking, does he really need more people? Is the whole issue? Now, I'm first thinking it's a bumper crop. Okay, it's the 11th hour. How much are they going to get done? And they're desperate for income. And he knows they're there. Because they didn't go home. They're just waiting for something. So I wonder if it is really because if it's a bumper crop. In verse 8, "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going out to the first.'" Now, why this order? You just think, you know, pay them, they're going to line up. Well, God's making a point of this. Earlier in Matthew, at the end of chapter 19, Jesus dealt with a rich young man. So, we've got the rich young man. He's rich. And Jesus says, "But many who are first, the rich." I mean, I agree. Money makes things a lot easier. How does our society treat the rich? Pretty nice. And here's what Jesus said about the rich young man. "But many who are first, like the rich, will be last. And many who are last will be first." And we'll get more on this later. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon, 5 the 11th hour, 1 hour's work, each received a day's pay, a full day's pay. Now, he probably said to all of them, kind of implied like the first group that he hired, you know, after the first hour, "I'm going to pay you what's fair." And they would probably expect, you know, a much, much smaller scale. And yet, they would be glad to get something and take it home versus nothing. I mean, otherwise, why would you wait around all day? And you have to imagine, they are in shock and amazement. They're like, what's going on? This just isn't how things work. And even the audience must be thinking, what's going on? You don't pay someone for 12 hours of work when they've worked an hour. You'll go broke. That's just bad business. Read the Wall Street Journal. Read the Economic Times. And then, oh, he's generous. We get it. He's really going to load and stock up. So when those who came were hired first, I mean, they expected to receive more. They're like, oh, this is a generous dude. We're going to get more. But each one of them also only received a denarius, 1 day's pay. They too must be in shock and amazement. And can you blame them? Because now it gets really interesting what's going on. Because when they received it, and all of us said amen, they began to grumble against the landowner. I'm with them. I mean, at this point in the story, I'm with them, and so is Jesus' audience. They begin to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work. They're saying, we're hot and sweaty and we stink. They worked an hour, you know, they still feel pretty fresh. They don't need to go home and shower. We have borne the burden of the work, the heat of the day, and they are correct. I mean, if you were them, would you not be mad and upset? And then you know what my kids would say to me? Dad, you always say, life's not fair. You know, it's easy to tell other people that. It's kind of tough when they tell you that. And then, verse 13, but he answered one of them. Okay, I guess I've got this all wrong. I am not being unfair. Pay? Didn't you agree to the denarius for 12 hours? Did you not? Technically, literally, they agreed to a day's pay. They did. I mean, how do you argue with that? It is fair. And this group had no idea what he said to the others. You know, and again, he said, I agreed to pay what was fair. And even those people who came in later would have probably expected a half or a third or a twelfth. So it is fair. Everybody's getting what they agreed to. And nobody's really expecting what's going on. And then in verse 14, I think he's miffed. Take your pay and go. Get out of here. I want to give the ones who was hired the last the same I gave to you. I want to do this. I am in my full cognitive abilities and I have chosen to do this. It's my money. Don't I have the right? God's like saying, I mean, it's like, I get to be God. I'm God. I think many people in our society forget that. We think we're on equal level with God. I mean, I'm sure like all of you, I have tried to give God advice. You know, Lord, this could really work good if you did it this way. And you all would agree that it's probably a good thing God didn't listen. Take your money and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Take your money and get out of here. Or are you envious because I am generous? See, is this a union and management and pay scale issue? Or is this a heart issue? They're thinking money and economics, and the landowner is thinking the hearts and needs and grace and mercy. And then Jesus says, in somewhat the opposite when he was dealing with the rich young man, because he talked about the first will be last when talking to the rich young man. Now he's blessing the least, the last hired. And so it's inverted. Now the last will be first, and the first will be last. When the rich young man, he said, the first he started with, now he's dealing with the poor and down and out, the last hired. And he says, so will the last be first. In the kingdom of God, over and over, a way of doing things that boggles our mind. The world may be unfair, incompetence may be rewarded, but in the kingdom of God, generosity and grace and mercy rule the day. We sing that song, when we all get to heaven, what a glory it will be. Glorious day. I'm also would think when we all get to heaven, we're all going to be a lot shocked and amazed. I don't care how prepared we are, when we all get to heaven, it is going to be an incredible, shocking, and revealing experience. And then Jesus pops another surprise. You know, he's inverted the whole thing. They're all sitting there scratching my head. Okay, so let me get this right again. You're going to pay 1 hour work the same as 12. They're trying to get through that head. And then he goes to Christ crucified. Because there is no escaping the corruption and depravity of our world. Even though the kingdom of heaven is turning all things upside down and reversing it, we're still on this earth, and all things are not complete. Now, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, you know, his ministry started out. He went up to Galilee, up to the north. He went into Gentile regions. And we're coming to the close, and he's headed back to Jerusalem. The spiritual religious epicenter. And things are going to happen. And on the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and me, the Son of Man, will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. This is the third out of four times that Jesus reveals this. And it seems like they can't seem to get it to stick. And they especially can't remember the part about raised to life, because maybe they thought it was metaphorical. Remember, the disciples said, we gave up everything to follow. You could say they were bragging, but I think they were just being realistic. Because here's a rich young man who won't give up his money. And they're like, Lord, we've given everything up. You know, our pockets are empty. And now you're going to leave us? You're going to be crucified? Is this what we signed up for? I mean, we gave up everything, but maybe we didn't fully understand what we were buying into. Because the Messiah, the Savior of the world, will be treated like a common criminal. Because the culture of this world is often depraved, is often unfair, is difficult to deal with. And we are to live in a different way. Even though we are in the world, we are not to be of the world. Because we are living in the culture of the kingdom. What is culture? Culture is how you deal with life and problems. Sometimes you will say, oh, the culture of my work is terrible. It's all about nepotism and hiring family and hiring friends. Good old boy network, yada, yada, yada. Culture is how we deal with problems, the blessings in life, how we deal with good and evil. For instance, we all want a culture of equality. Now, I'm not saying everyone, no matter what you make, should get a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz. But I am saying everyone at work should be treated equal and with safety precautions. All schools, not just schools in rich neighborhoods, should get a fire suppression system. Now, in the United States, that's our culture. Generally, there's always exceptions. If you're in a school, no matter where you're at, if the fire marshal's doing his job, he will come into that school and say, you need a fire suppression system, you need escape routes. And if he does his job, we will make him do it. No, we think that's normal. I remember it's been years, maybe even a decade ago, in another country there was a girls' school and there was a fire and the fire escapes were all locked and blocked and they died. You see, in the past and in still some countries today, women and children are treated as second-class citizens. If it's an all-girls school in the United States, you still can't block the fire exits. And if you do, I don't know what happened to this country, you will pay the price. You might spend the rest of your life in jail. That's the culture of our nation. Now, I can't say we're good at it, but in our nation, we want everyone to have health care. We don't know how to pay for it. We don't know how to always make it equal. But we're a nation where we give a lot of people health care. And we all want health care. What does our culture say about how we treat the unborn and our mentality in that issue? How do we treat the physically and mental disabled? That is a reflection on our culture. So what is the culture of the kingdom of God? The first thing we do is look to the Trinity. I just said this recently, but the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, something I cannot explain, is the sentness of God, the missio Dei, the mission of God. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Godhead, decide to send Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Your world wants to lower it over you and be in charge. I've come to serve. I've come to die for you. I've come to sacrifice everything. You would think if the Godhead's going to send someone down, he'd come with a sword and a tank and make everybody bow down, and he comes to serve. Totally counterculture. Giving out, serving, not getting served. That is the first and most important way of understanding the culture of the kingdom of God. And so how does that work in our world? Well, it doesn't always work. Star athletes get better treatment, probably get better health care. We don't always treat the poor, the mentally, the physically disabled as good. Our country is probably as good as any, but there's still, I'm sorry, if you have more money, you just might get better health care. We still reward incompetence sometimes. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. And regardless of that, if the kingdom of God is in us, we don't succumb to that. See, it's easy to give in. Oh, it's just a dog-eat-dog world, and you got to do what you got to do, because that's the way things work. And Jesus is like, no, no. When I came to the earth, I came to serve and not lord over. I was willing to sacrifice everything. And I expect the same of those who are in my kingdom. So the kingdom of God in this text, you know, many people think this is about salvation, like those who get saved last or rewarded as those that get saved first. And that's true. You know, if you lived a good life your whole life, and Uncle Bob, who is a complete jerk, you know, been married 10 times, cheated on his wives, stole the inheritance, and he gets saved on your deathbed, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm going to see Bob in heaven? Well, he's going to get like a skateboard and I get a BMW, right? I don't know. Now, in some ways, you know, this is about work, like, you know, they're getting paid for the work, and you can't earn your way into heaven. But also, it's about being chosen, because those guys who were chosen first, they had nothing to do with it. And, you know, we all are called to work in the kingdom of God, whether you're chosen first or the 11th hour. So in some ways, you know, it's really not specifically about that, and some people are really against that. But the principle's there. It doesn't matter when. God's grace is there. See, because foundationally, it is about grace and mercy. It's about thinking Christ-like. I remember a lady one time said, if things are going rough for you, can you be happy for your friend if they're blessed? Now, if you've got things going good and your friend got something going good, you're happy for them. But if your life is at a nadir, at the lowest point, and things are going bad, and then your friend wins the lottery, gets an inheritance from Uncle Bob, and you can't wash dishes and clothes because your plumbing's out and your toilet doesn't flush, can you be happy for him? I probably can't. I'll just be honest. I'll be wallowing in my own spit. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's an earthly mentality. I'm not saying it should be easy. But regardless of the fairness of life, we're called to be serve God and be generous and gracious. You see, those that were hired first wow, I get hired today. I'm going to go home and take money home to my family. We're going to eat tonight and this weekend. Well, those poor saps, well, they didn't deserve to get hired because, you know, he chose me first to get paid because obviously I'm better. Instead of like, wow, I get to feed my family tonight and this weekend, and those poor guys, man, they're doomed. What are the kids going to eat? I mean, I'd like to give to them, but I'm barely going to have enough for me and mine. Maybe I will give them a little. And then you see them get paid the same as you. Well, maybe I'm not going to give them anything. Or maybe you're like, well, that is so nice of him. I mean, I work 12 hours and I stink. And I need a good shower. And I'm in the first century, so we don't have showers. Poor me. Got to go jump in the Jordan River, and you know how dirty that is. Because they flush their toilets upstream. And he only worked an hour, but he still gets paid. That is so cool. He can feed his family tonight too. See, that's a kingdom mentality. An earthly mentality is, what'd you pay them as much as me for, dude? I worked 12 hours longer than them. Versus, well, I worked 12 hours and I'm hot and tired. And yeah, I got to admit this is a little unfair, but I'm so glad they get to eat tonight. That is a complete shift from the culture of this earth to the culture of the kingdom of heaven and the way God thinks about things. That kind of God sends Jesus Christ to die for us. Really, did the first chosen really deserve to be chosen first? No. And when you understand that, you're like, I got to be chosen first. I got to work. I got to learn new skills. Okay, they maybe got the same pay, but they didn't learn all the same things I did today during the 12 hours. How do you ever want to look at it? But the kingdom of God is completely reversed. The culture of God is a completely different culture than this earth. We are called to become servants, and that's a nice word. Jesus said, I became a slave to the least of you. That's an offensive word to us today, and it should be. We are called to be slaves to our fellow man, our fellow woman, our fellow child. You know, we're going to come to that point next week where Jesus says, the rulers of this world, the Gentiles, the people over those, they've come to rule. And that's what some people wanted Jesus to do. And he said, I've come to serve. That's the kingdom, a kingdom culture. You know, I started out talking about all these odd things in life. And here's the thing, you might want to quibble over some of the things I said, but you know generally I'm right. It's kind of almost funny. It sounds like a comedy routine unless it hits your life. Then it's not so funny anymore. But that is the way life works. And we have a choice. Will we succumb to that or will we follow Christ? Will we live out the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God, and embrace the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God within us, and live the way he calls us to live, with a kingdom mentality, a culture of generosity and giving and serving. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we thank you that you would challenge us with your parable, because it is so challenging. To make us rethink about how you do things and to realize how little we really deserve and how much we've been given and how gracious you've been to us. And to understand that grace and therefore to be willing to give that grace to others. Lord, you truly said, you know, it's the sick who need a doctor. Lord, we're all sick and we all need you. And what we have, what was given to us, we've really never deserved. Let us to always realize that, Father. That doesn't mean that we don't work hard and we work in the grace you've given us, but it's all by your hand and your mercy. And we do it for your glory. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. As we close today, we'll close in prayer and song. The prayer rails are open on both sides. And if you've never made a decision to live with a kingdom mentality, to live with the culture of Jesus Christ and to come to serve him Jesus and to put him first, to make him first in your life, and to no longer live for yourself, but to live with a kingdom mentality and live for Jesus Christ. Let me visit with you today, pray with you, or reach out to me online as we close in prayer and song. Corinthians 13:13. Now if these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Therefore, let us go in peace, sharing God's love, making disciples. Amen and amen.